is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. I'm your host for the evening, Nick Sacento, and I'll be joined shortly by my man, Joe Chiquette, to help me break down all of tonight's action as the Boston Celtics traveled to Detroit to take on the, well, what we previously thought was the lowly Pistons. The Celtics came into this game on an 8-game winning streak, with a record of 8-10, good for fourth in the Eastern Conference, defeating their opponents by a combined margin of 182 points over that 8-game winning streak, and scoring 125-plus points in seven of those 8-game winning streaks. The Pistons, on the other hand, coming into the game, trying to defend home court, 13-13 record, 500 record on the season, good for seventh in the East, headed in a completely different direction than the Boston Celtics on a 6-game losing streak, which is pretty much indicative of the Pistons' entire season. They've had 5-game win streaks that preceded the 6-game losing streak, and then they had an earlier 5-game losing streak, so they've been on streaks of wins and losses, and it has essentially balanced out to a 500 record, at least until tonight, because the Boston Celtics had that 8-game winning streak snapped by a score of 113-104 to the Detroit Pistons. Not much luck tonight in Detroit. If you're an old school meme head, you'll remember this one. That's right. It is so cold in the D tonight for the Boston Celtics. 13th straight game, I should say, after a plane trip. So the Boston Celtics have basically been playing, they've been jet-setting and playing as soon as they get off the plane. So they've not had much rest, not spent much time in their own beds, not had back-to-back games at home where they've been able to spend time in the beautiful city of Boston, and it resulted in, once again, a 113-104 loss to the Detroit Pistons, snapping that impressive 8-game winning streak in which they blew out almost every single one of their opponents. Just like they blew out the Pistons a couple of months ago, surprisingly they had a home and away, blew the Pistons out. Then came back and won a tighter game, and now the Pistons seeking revenge. You could tell right out the gate they were looking to snap that 6-game losing skid. They're trying to make a play for the Eastern Conference playoffs. I know it's a little bit early to talk about the playoffs, but they were in seventh place in the East, and kind of something, you know, clicked in their mind saying, hey, we got to start winning some games here, because if we don't, this Eastern Conference, which is supposed to be fairly easy after the top, you know, 2, 3, 4 teams, they weren't going to make it, and they decided to make their statement tonight against the Boston Celtics. Again, I'm going to be breaking this game down to the molecular level with my man Joe Chiquette, my co-host for the night. But very quickly, just wanted to say you could see from just as much as the Pistons looked like a team ready to bust loose, you could see the Boston Celtics were fairly fatigued. A lot of missed shots that were short, front-rimmed shots, some missed layups, and a lot of first-look shots. They were getting some, you know, nice passing early in the game, but as the game went along, a lot of first-look shots, a lot of even when they got the offensive rebound, passed the ball out, first-look shot right after that. So not as much passing and ball movement as we've been used to seeing. And with that, just a little synopsis, brief synopsis to let you know that the Boston Celtics did indeed lose tonight, 113-104, ending their win streak at 8 games. Didn't take care of business tonight, but I don't personally think this is any reason to panic. The Boston Celtics can't win every single game, even though we understand that they have just recently turned the corner and have started looking like the Boston Celtics team that we all expected them to look like. With that said, we'd like to remind everybody that the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show is a live call-in post-game show. So if you're listening to us right now, you're listening to us live as we happen, as it happens, as the action just ended and is just beginning here on CLNS Media, Boston Celtics post-game show. And if you'd like to join the conversation, as many of our loyal listeners and loyal callers do, make sure to dial the Boston Barber and Tattoo Company toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. And if you'd like to join the conversation, please press 1 on your touch tone phone after you've dialed the number and you hear the automated operator. Press 1 to let us know that you'd like to join the conversation. That will distinguish you from those folks that call in just to listen. So if you'd like to join the conversation, once again, the toll-free call lines are 347-215-7771. And after you hear the operator, press 1 on your touchtone phone or dial 1 on your old-school rotary phone if you're old-school like that. And while I have your ear, I'd like to remind everybody that this episode and every single episode so far this season has been brought to you by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat. You'd hope so. Otherwise, the neighborhood would probably not be very healthy, might be dead. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, Aaron Baines, and Reggie Bullock. No, I'm kidding. Reggie Bullock plays for the Detroit Pistons and has two giant dreadlocks. I don't think that's something that Boston Barber and Tattoo Company covers, but they do cover Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that visit the North End of Boston throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of Boston's North End at its core. So if you'd like a Gordon Hayward slick hipster comb over, or you'd like a nice faded man bun like my man Aaron Baines, make sure to hit a Boston Barber and Tattoo Company in the North End, located at 113 Salem Street. And with that, I'd like to bring in my man, my co-host. I've heard him hosting a couple of shows previously, and I said, man, this guy's good. I'd like to get a chance to host with him. I had an opportunity to switch out tonight with one of the bosses, Taylor McLeod. But when I saw that my co-host would be the man, Joe Chiquette, I said, nah, I'm not going to switch out. I want to host this show because I want to work with Joe Chiquette. Joe, what did you think about tonight's game? Did the team seem as lethargic and not as Celtic-y, if that's even a word, as we've come to expect over the past 8 games of their impressive blowout streak?
Well, first off, let me say, Nick, pleasure to be on the radio with you. I also listen to your broadcasts when I'm not on, and I too wanted an opportunity to be able to talk Celtics basketball with you. So thanks to the good folks at CLNS Media allowing you and I to partner up tonight. I'm really stoked about talking about tonight's game. And to that point, let me just start out by saying I found going into tonight's game, although I was stoked and hyped about the current win streak, I think everybody, including the national analysts that I watched all day today, talked about this being a potential trap game. And where they're 99% wrong on these pregame shows, I think tonight they nailed this one on the head. You had a game on the back end of a back-to-back with a good team with some veteran legs on it. And for all intents and purposes, I expected them to come out slow. And to your point early on, Detroit came out looking to shoot lights out. They wanted to make a statement tonight. Every team that plays the Boston Celtics wants to make a statement. And I thought it was great to see the Celtics match them shot for shot in the first. I think they ended the first quarter, both teams throwing up 33 total points. They ended up tied. I kind of thought to myself, well, this is starting to look like a game that's shaping up to be decent. Let's hope they got the legs down the stretch. Unfortunately, I think the second half kind of showed us what happens when you get a team, to your point, that's flying planes 13 out of 13 days, getting in late, and then playing on the back half of a back-to-back. You saw them kind of run out of gas. To your point, a lot of front rim shots in the second half. I thought they started the third period off strong, but then just got sloppy and a little bit lazy and gassed. So let's dig into this. Let's start. Where do you want to go?
One thing that I noticed in, as I mentioned in the brief synopsis, it's never really brief with me. I like to talk a lot. But, you know, in the brief synopsis early in the game, one of the things that I noticed was the Detroit Pistons, especially, you know, in the box score confirms it, the Detroit Pistons kind of outplayed the Boston Celtics at the Boston Celtics' own game. The Boston Celtics obviously are known under Brad Stevens' system to have excellent ball movement, possibly the best ball movement in the league, particularly because nearly every player in his starting lineup and many on the bench are capable of handling the ball, are capable of passing the ball, and to one degree or another, some better than others obviously, are capable of setting up teammates with good passes that lead to good shots and made buckets. And that didn't exactly happen tonight, as the Celtics only shot under 42%, just under 42% from the field, and got out-assisted by a margin of 25-19 for the Pistons, whereas the Pistons moved the ball, as you'd expect the Boston Celtics to do, and the Pistons did it seemingly better tonight, especially down the stretch. Shot better from the field, 49% as compared to that just under 42% for Boston, and shot better from three. Actually, it was amazing in those first two quarters where defense was hard to come by, especially in the first quarter. Detroit Pistons were shooting at one point in the game, and I believe I looked at it late in the second quarter, shooting 64%. From three. Now they ended up at the end of the game shooting only 33% from three, 10 for 30 from behind the arc, but that was still better than the 9 for 33 that the Celtics shot for 27% from behind the arc. So that's kind of where I'd like to start with this game.
All right.
Mr. Chiquette, it seemed that the Detroit Pistons were out-Bostoning the Boston Celtics with their ball movement, getting good shots, and then down the stretch, the legs, you know, really, you know, seemed to pick up. So it was kind of, you know, a dual thing there. The fatigue on the Boston Celtics' part that made them settle for kind of, you know, those first-look shots and front-rimming a lot of those first-look shots, but also not moving the ball the way that we expect the Boston Celtics to move the ball, whereas the Detroit Pistons did exactly that and got a lot of good-looking shots and made those buckets at least at a better percentage, a higher percentage than the Boston Celtics did.
For sure. And I think that that's a great point. And I think one of the key factors, at least for me watching the game, Nick, was Marcus's quick three personal fouls in the first. That kind of set, you know, that set the rotation off a little bit because you didn't get to go long with him. You had to start making your subs a little bit early. And I think one of the things that we've seen over this six-game stretch is the fact that when you have the lineup in and you have Smart in there, it gives Brad the flexibility of keeping a designated shooter. You know, and, hey, I'll point it out. Smart had a great game from behind the arc tonight. But that's not what you expect out of him game in, game out. He's your defensive guy. He's to take a little bit of the pressure off of the floor with five designated shooters out there. You put Smart out there, you start allowing the ball to move around a lot more. And not to mention, I think he's great with the ball in his hand. So when you have to take him out, you shake up that rotation. And I think they stumbled a little bit. And, you know, that's one of the things that I struggled with watching this. I mean, there were 11 lead changes in the first half. I'm watching the way the ball movement's going, and it seemed like, to a degree, a little bit of ISO play. But then it just seemed like it wasn't so much that they weren't rotating the ball. I don't think the passing lanes were available. And, I don't know if that ties back to tired legs or just being a little out of sorts tonight. But I think we're burying the lead. And that is one of the key factors for Detroit's fast start tonight, I thought, was Galloway off the bench. I mean, in the first half alone, dude had 10 points. He was 4 for 6 from the two-point area and 2 for 4 from behind the arc. He kind of gave that Pistons bench a nice little push to get going so they could rest out some guys. Sure. And then, Drummond, oh, my God. I mean, I think he ended the game 19 points, 20 rebounds. I mean, he's a beast. And yet you weren't expecting that out of him. You were expecting maybe a 12-point night, maybe 5-6 rebounds, just, his typical delta. But you didn't get that tonight. Tonight you got a monster game out of Drummond. You got a decent game out of Galloway. Calderon just does what he always does, which is pester the crap out of everybody and run all over the court. But it frees up lanes and frees up shooters. So, at the end of the day, I just chalk it up to it was a trap game. You should have beat the Pistons. You've been beating the teams you should have been beating. You've been doing it by a huge margin. And you just got caught on the back half of a back-to-back. One of the things I do want to point out, though, was Time Lord's time on the court tonight. I texted you during the game when it happened because I just thought it was a great stat. when he first checked into the game tonight, that marked the 90th minute of his NBA career. 90 minutes. But what really made that special was the fact that Robert Williams has 17 blocks in 90 minutes on the court. That's a stat we should keep an eye on. As the season progresses, as his time kind of increases and decreases over the course of the year, this guy is crushing it when he's getting an opportunity to be out there. He had a nice putback tonight with soft hands that rolled around right in front of the hoop. Great body movement when he was in the air. I was impressed. I think what we're seeing is a really young guy starting to figure out the NBA game a little bit. It's going to be a process, but I like what I'm seeing early.
Oh, just starting with the Time Lord talk already so early in the show. I love it. And I think, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, if you had doubts at the beginning, the doubt should all be allayed, or whatever the word is, should be put to rest, because Time Lord Robert Williams is just showing his potential. There's a lot that he can work on in his game. Obviously, he's still very raw as a rookie. I think he was criminally underutilized at Texas A&M, even though he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I think that his offensive abilities weren't really put on display by the A&M game planning, the A&M kind of, style of play. But Robert Williams has all the physical tools. He has the timing. He has the timing when it comes to in-game stuff. But, of course, that's why he's the Time Lord. He transcends space and time. So even when he's late for, crucial meetings, when he's a, rookie, late for practice or late for whatever he's late for, he's on time when it comes to the court. And his timing when it comes to blocking shots is, second almost to none. I mean, he gets right into the game, and the first thing he does pretty much is, block a shot. And some of these shots that he's blocking, the shots that, you wouldn't expect, a player of his, size to make in places on the court where you wouldn't expect blocks to be made. And it's because, blocks out, on the perimeter. And it's because for a big man close to 7 feet, I don't think he's quite 7 feet, but I'm not positive about that, his length, his athletic ability and his ability to stay with smaller, faster players on the perimeter defensively, his ability to, you know, keep them, you know, stay on their hip, so to speak. And when they pull up for shots,
yeah,
he can either contest and change the shot or block the shot from, you know, whether it's deep, you know, mid-range or from behind the three-point arc. So Robert Williams, the Time Lord, you know, so many ways you could take the Time Lord nickname. Shout out to Riffsman, who invented it on what I guess they're calling Weird Celtics Twitter, invented the Time Lord nickname, which has now gone entirely viral. I know Joe Chiquette, I believe I heard you speaking on one of the previous shows about watching the Larry Bird days. So I don't know if you are beyond the age of Weird Celtics Twitter. I know in my mid-30s, I'm not quite a Weird Celtics Twitter guy myself, although I do. Some of it still filters down to me as an older millennial, I like to call myself. I believe that, you know, up to like 36 or something is still considered a millennial. But, you know, as an older millennial, you know, it filters down to me. And shout out to Riffsman, invented the Time Lord nickname, and it has stuck to the point where the NBC Sports Boston commentators, especially Scalabrine, have been using it repeatedly in their broadcasts. And Danny Ainge has come out saying, he doesn't like Time Lord, because I guess he takes it as a reference to some of those, you know, late to meeting, you know, early season things. But to me, the Time Lord is, you know, he maximizes his time on the court. He had 10 minutes on the court today. Didn't, you know, his stats didn't really jump out. It was more his early game play that got me, that he got time, I believe, in the first quarter. First thing he does is, get a bucket and get a block. And, you know, just Time Lord doing Time Lord things. And the, you know, the next step, as Taylor McLeod said during the post-game show last night after the Hawks game, the next step for Time Lord, Robert Williams, is to, you know, kind of get more comfortable with the rotations, the, you know, rotation speaking, you know, the movement of the game, rotations on defense, the movement on offense, and kind of, you know, get himself accustomed to the motion offense that Brad Stevens likes to run, and all of the passing and all of the, you know, the fluid movement of the ball. And that'll come to him. And of course, next season, the season after that, I can imagine Brad Stevens will have him shooting three-pointers. I mean, he had Aaron Baines shooting 50% from three in the playoffs last season, so
yep. Why
not Robert Williams? So the sky's the limit for Robert Williams, especially when he goes up for a lob, because he's nose level to the rim. So Time Lord, I'm glad you brought him up. We all love Time Lord. If you don't love Time Lord, you should exile yourself from the Boston Celtics fan community and go join another team. Robert Williams is the new lob master now that Blake Griffin has significantly lost a lot of his athleticism and is now kind of under the rim type of player, but did have a decent game tonight, Blake Griffin. But Robert Williams, love him. Glad you brought him up. Even this early in the show, even though he had a minimal impact, definitely worth bringing up Time Lord anytime at any point during the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show.
Hey, Nick, they got Time Lord trending on Twitter. You got Scal and Mike using it on the broadcast. Scal actually mentioned on the broadcast tonight that he was in the elevator with Robert Williams earlier today and asked him if he could use it. And he said, yeah, go ahead and use it. So we got that one. Now for you, we got to make you hashtag elder millennial. I think that's the more fitting one for you. And then I'll be hashtag Joe Gen X because I am a little bit older than the elder millennials, but that's okay, right? Because as long as we watch the game, we understand what we're seeing in front of us. It just gives us a larger frame of reference. How about that?
I was just going to say that, a broader frame of reference. And you know what, especially, you know, CLNS Media does a fantastic job of, and Andrew Rubino actually, you know, got me with this. I didn't know exactly what he was referring to when he said this to me in a text, but he said, we love having you here at CLNS. You diversify the, you know, the staff, or you diversify the hosting staff. And I said, well, I mean, I'm only in my mid-30s. I mean, I'm not, you know, like the old guy. Because, you know, we have a bunch of the, I call them the Syracuse gang, Andrew Rubino, Taylor McLeod, and the boss,
yes,
Bobby Beto Manning, all Syracuse guys. And, you know, they're the younger kids in their early 20s. And I believe Riffs is probably, you know, fits in that category. And then we have guys like Snotty Drippin' James Hollis, who I imagine is somewhere around my age, you know, early to mid-30s. And then we have, you know, folks like you that are the Gen Xers, a little bit older than that. I don't know exactly how old you are, but all of the
mid-40s.
Demographics, the target demographics, are covered. The only thing we're missing is maybe an actual elder, maybe a senior citizen that remembers the Bill Russell days to come in here and, you know, I remember when Bill Russell was doing what Time Lord did, and, you know, even better than,
oh.
You know what I mean? But,
it's
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, shout-outs to CLNS Media, shout-outs to Riffsman, and shout-outs to all those who get these weird Celtics Twitter things going viral. Time Lord, always fun to talk about. I'm going to throw you, and I don't want to hog up all the time, some of the lowlights and highlights for the players in this game. I thought Morris was very quiet, only 9 points according to the box score that I'm looking at. 0 for 6 from 3, 3 for 10 from the field overall. That's not a Marcus Morris game for a guy that's having a most improved player contending type season. Tatum was quiet for most of the game. He had 17 points to finish the game, but, you know, it didn't really seem like, you know, Tatum really got his thing going. He had the ball stripped from him at midcourt on what was potentially a fast break by Andre Drummond. That just kind of summed up the entire game to me. You should never get stripped at midcourt by Andre Drummond when you are Jason Tatum. That just shouldn't happen. Quiet games. And then the highlights. I've been critical of Marcus Smart. I'll say it every single time because I don't want anybody to think that I'm jumping on the bandwagon. But I'm loving Marcus Smart as a starter. I'm loving Marcus Smart as a $13 million a year guy. I think he's been playing balls to the wall, and he's exactly what the Boston Celtics need. He had 21 points for the Celtics tonight, 5 for 7 from 3. He was the only player, other than Daniel Tice, who shot 2 for 3, that shot over 50% from 3. A lot of offers from the rest of the team, 0 for 6 for Morris, 0 for 3 from Tatum, 0 for 4 for Hayward, 0 for 3 for Rozier, 0 for 1 from Brown, all from 3. While Marcus Smart, the guy you'd least expect, 5 for 7 from 3. And, of course, Kyrie Irving doing Kyrie Irving things, 26 points, 8 rebounds, which I think led the Celtics or was tied for lead with the Celtics. Did miss a couple of layups down the stretch, which I'll attribute to legs. But, you know, Kyrie and Smart highlights, I think Marcus Morris, low light, Gordon Hayward off the bench, didn't really give the Boston Celtics what they needed in his 28 minutes. Who were the highs and lows for you, or at least the players that you thought shouldered a lot of the burden, and maybe some of the players that can, you know, shoulder some of the, I don't want to say blame, because, you know, losing and winning is a team thing, but, you know, they didn't maybe quite give the Boston Celtics what they needed. Who did you think, Joe Chiquette?
Absolutely. I'll run through them. Kyrie, I thought, gave you a standard Kyrie Irving game. The one thing I thought was glaring in the fourth, specifically as time was winding down, say the midway point in the fourth through the end of the game, was it was very apparent that Kyrie was tired. He didn't have the extra gear tonight that we've become accustomed to seeing when he played in Cleveland and now here with Boston. There's usually that extra gear that Kyrie kicks in at the end of the game, specifically if there's a deficit and he needs to take over a game. And you saw a bunch of missed layups near down the stretch. He was playing aggressive on D, which was good. And again, 26 points, 8 rebounds. I can't really complain, but I just didn't see the extra gear at the end of the game. And again, I attribute that to being a back-to-back on the back half. Morris, uninspired play tonight. I just thought if I have to give a positive to him, he's definitely never going to be afraid to take a shot, ever. If you leave that gentleman uncovered behind the arc, look out, because 9 out of 10 times he's taken that shot, and 8 out of 10 he's going to try to get it in. I just thought tonight he just got bit by the bug of having dead legs. Tatum, thought that was a quiet 17, so I'll agree with you on that. I didn't agree with that technical in the fourth. I thought that was just a continuation of his play. And I think that kind of didn't – there wasn't enough time left in the game to really rattle him with it. But I think he was he just wasn't feeling it. Smart, I'm a huge – I think I've told you, Nick, on a previous broadcast, I'm a huge Smart fan. Have been, always will be. I'm a Boston guy. Okay, and yes, I'm 45, so I am a Gen Xer, which means that I grew up watching the Celtics in the early 80s all the way through the good times, the bad times, the highlights, the ML car lowlights. I've watched this team, and I've watched all Boston teams. Marcus Smart encompasses the heartbeat of what a Boston fan looks for in a player. The guy plays hard out on his sleeve. He plays balls out every single game, every single minute. And I can point to a specific moment in tonight's game in which Smart just literally showed you why you love this guy as a player. He's guarding Blake Griffin at the top of the key, and he is so deep in his chest. And you could see that Griffin was getting frustrated. He started swinging elbows and trying to throw the ball from shoulder to shoulder to try to get Smart out of the way. And he ended up committing the turnover on the play. That is quintessential Marcus Smart defense. He is the Brad Marchand of the Boston Celtics. He's the Trot Nixon of the Boston Celtics. And he is, I don't know, Julian Edelman of the Boston Celtics in regards to the tenacity that he brings to the game. One of my all-time favorite players, honestly. Rozier. I'm running out of patience, and I'm watching this guy's stock drop. Tonight, I don't know what it was. He didn't look slow. He looked super quick tonight. His footwork was there. He was banging around, but man, he couldn't sink the ball to save his life tonight. It just wasn't a good night for him. And Hayward, uninspired play, but that's okay. You know, I'm kind of giving him a pass. I was kind of dogging him when he was in the starting five. Now that he's adjusting to this off the bench role, I think that this affords him more opportunity to rehab, come back, and when he's back to 100%, maybe he's reinserted into that starting five. But tonight, I'll just call it a neutral game. I just didn't get much out of him. And then lastly, I'm not going to pick on him. I texted you I wasn't, but you're going to have to talk about him, and that's your guy, Jaylen Brown. I thought that in the time that he was on the court tonight, he did not look great. He was okay on the glass. You've got the stats in front of you. I don't, but I do have a clear memory of watching him go up offensive and defensive rebounds, at least grabbing the ball off the glass. He had that one slip down on the baseline that got the foul called for him, which I thought was great, even though there was no foul there at all. His feet just went out from under him. I just didn't
see.
There
were several plays I think.
Yeah, and I made
at least a couple of slips that ended up being fouls,
For sure. And I made a couple of notes early in the game. Jaylen struggles early. Second quarter, midway through, Jaylen not really on the court right now. And then in the second half, Jaylen just seeming like he wasn't. There are games where it seems like the game comes to Jaylen, slows down, and he's within the game and plays, you know, to the level of which I'm hoping to see consistently from him. And then there are games like tonight. And tonight I saw a guy that looked lost on that court. Maybe I saw it different than you did, Nick, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. But I need more out of this second-year player, specifically a guy who's as heady as he is on the court. He's excellent court vision. He knows he's got the skill set, the requisite skill set to perform. I just need consistency. What did you see?
Oh, consistency is the word that immediately came to mind when you brought up Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And those last two guys that you mentioned, Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, I think have suffered the most with the kind of shakeup in the lineup with the return of Gordon Hayward, with the return of Kyrie Irving. Earlier in the season, I wanted to say, you know, is Terry Rozier, you know, he's not getting the minutes that, you know, that he maybe needs, but he had, let's see, where are we at? Terry Rozier had 23 minutes tonight, which is almost exactly at his season average, 23.3 minutes per game. That's only literally just a little bit more than 2.5 minutes less, fewer, I should say, than what he was playing last season. And I just don't think that, you know, Terry Rozier should have to have a starting position, should have to have a spot in the starting lineup the way he did when Kyrie Irving went down to be able to produce. Terry Rozier is one of those guys that I would have thought, you know, being a big Terry Rozier fan, I like Terry Rozier's speed. He has that, you know, not just forward, you know, up the court speed, but he has, you know, lateral speed. He has that twitchiness.
Sure.
He has that ability. You know, his handles have improved dramatically from, you know, his first season now to, I believe, he's in his fourth season. Being able to kind of show the ball but still keep control of it, he has those long arms that are almost reminiscent of Rajon Rondo, in the sense that he can do things with the ball that, you know, players without, you know, the wingspan that he has, you know, can't necessarily do. But he's just, you know, really not, you know, putting up the stats. I mean, he, you know, he's playing almost the same amount of minutes that he played last year, and his scoring has gone down by almost 3 points, and his shooting
yeah.
percentage has suffered as well. So Terry Rozier, you know, I don't know what to say about the guy. I am hesitant to say that his, you know, stock is falling, because I think the teams that would be interested in signing him as a free agent, he'll be a restricted free agent after this season. His rookie contract is expiring. Wasn't able to come to an agreement on an extension with Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics by the deadline. I forgot exactly when the deadline was, but he wasn't able to come up with an extension on that. The teams that would be looking to sign him, maybe Phoenix, for example, would want him in the starting lineup, and I think that, you know, if that's really what he expects or what he thinks he needs or what's in his brain that, you know, he needs to in order to get the Terry Rozier that we saw during the playoffs, the guy that, you know, broke Eric Bledsoe, I was about to say Drew Bledsoe, Eric Bledsoe's ankles and became, you know, Scary Terry last year. Scary Terry just isn't, you know, all that scary this year. He's kind of, you know, just average Terry. He has the physical tools, the athletic tools, just isn't there. Jaylen Brown, as you said, consistency is a thing. He's had games, you know, since coming back from the injury, coming off the bench, where he's looked, you know, really good. He's had, you know, really good games, and then he'll, you know, come and have a game like tonight where he only scores, what, you know, 2 points, 4 points, something like that. Jaylen Brown, 2 points tonight on 1-for-4 shooting. So I still think, you know, Jaylen Brown is one of those, you know, one of those guys that, you know, he's an intelligent enough guy to recognize, you know, what the role is. Everything that he's said publicly has, you know, seemed to lean towards that as long as they're winning games, you know, he's cool with it. He's happy. I still think that he's going to adjust and, you know, adjust to his role and embrace that role. But right now, you know, I wouldn't want to depend on, if I had to go into a game and say, yeah, you know, this game depends on, you know, this game is going to be won or lost on the back of Jaylen Brown, I'd be like, well, that's probably not a good thing at this moment in time, although I do have faith in the young man to embrace that role and get better at it. But I agree with your analysis wholeheartedly. I'm not as confident about Terry Rozier turning things around, because I think that Terry Rozier is some of those comments that he's made sound kind of Isaiah Thomas-ish, you know, like Isaiah Thomas-ish.
Yeah, they do.
Where he hasn't said Brinks truck, but he has said, I'm going to get what I deserve, and he's talking all this stuff. And, I mean, it's been quiet. I don't think Boston fans have really turned on him. I think that we've kind of, you know, we're kind of getting ready to say, you know, goodbye, you know what I'm saying, to Terry Rozier. We're
coming to
peace with that, and, you know, not really. But, you know, when he starts saying those type of things, I think it's in his head that, you know, as much as he may deny it, as much as whatever else is going on, I think Terry Rozier, in his mind, he is a starting caliber point guard, and I think for many teams in the league, he would start as their point guard, and I think that he would be able to shine in that capacity. But at some point, maybe that's become a mental block to where he's just not getting it done as what I think a lot of Celtics fans would have predicted him to be, as that kind of six-man spark plug off the bench that can give you, you know, double-digit points off the bench, rebounds, because he's a fantastic, you know, rebounding guard, just like a lot of Louisville guards are rebounding. And he just hasn't been that spark plug. And, you know, it'd be nice if he was, but then, again, you have guys like, you know, Marcus Morris that's having, you know, a career season. He's having, I think he's career points per game, career rebounds, career field goal percent, career free throw percent. He's his career all over the place. And Marcus Smart, who is absolutely adapting and embracing his starting role, and I think that's largely because he is the perfect yin to Kyrie Irving's yang. Two opposite type of players. One looks to score first, one looks to pass first. One is finesse, one is gritty, one is offense, and one is mainly defense and hustle. I think those are the things that have made this team what it is. The casualties of the adjustments have been so far the guys that you've mentioned, Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, and I really hope that both of them can turn it around, although, like I mentioned, at this point I would think Jaylen Brown would be the guy to turn it around more so than Terry Rozier, because I think Terry Rozier hasn't had any injuries this season that we know of, hasn't missed time to injuries. His minutes haven't really declined all that much. He's just not really producing the way that we would like him to. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but I think that we haven't seen the last of Terry Rozier. I just think that the best of Terry Rozier is yet to come, and it's probably not going to be in a Boston Celtics jersey.
Yeah, and to forward that a little bit further, I am 100% on board with understanding and agreeing with you that Jaylen Brown's ceiling for growth is that of Terry Rozier's this season, next season, and 5 seasons down the road from now. What I will tell you, though, is one point that I will disagree with is that Terry's free agent or restricted free agent value isn't being impacted. I'll tell you that if he continues 23 minutes and under 10 a game without giving you that spark plug and without showing you some of those things that we saw last year, he's only going to be able to rely on the credentials from the 2017-2018 season for so long, until all of a sudden the 2018-2019 season becomes a larger sample size for teams that are looking for that free agent point guard. And if he doesn't turn it around, I do believe he loses value in the market, because you're going to want a guy that's playing at that level, not a guy who has the potential to play at that level. If I'm a GM and I'm looking to add a piece, specifically to your point, if I'm Phoenix and I'm looking to add a piece at the point, I want a guy who's performing, not a guy who performed a year ago and didn't see a dip in his minutes, but saw a change in his role and could not adapt. That may not be the guy that I'm targeting with the big bucks, even as a restricted free agent. And hey, to that side, if he kills his market value, guess what? Get used to seeing him in the green and sitting on the bench, because that's what he'll end up being.
Yeah, I agree with you to an extent. I think if it were an issue of a trade, you know, a mid-season trade, that would impact his value more so than going into free agency, or maybe not. I don't know. I think that, you know, there's a difference between potential, like, say, for example, Robert Williams' potential that, you know, hasn't completely been realized in any, you know, in any form on the court, and potential that we've seen manifest and, you know, take shape on the court in big moments, as Terry Rozier, Scary Terry, in the playoffs last season. He performed, and again, he was somewhat inconsistent. That game 7 against the Cavaliers, I mean, nobody played, you know, well in that game, but Terry Rozier was one of those players not playing well. But his potential was realized, or at least manifest to a degree. There's something tangible you can look at, and I think that if he, you know, makes it to restricted free agency, makes it to free agency, he's going to get an offer that the Boston Celtics, you know, because he's going to get an offer that beats the qualifying offer. I would imagine he's going to get something upwards of, you know, double figures. I would imagine maybe even, you know, because of the salary cap grows, you know, not all that, you know, not all that much, but the salary cap will grow in, you know, in between the two seasons, growing for next season. Terry Rozier will probably get somewhere around $12 million, even if his stats just continue the way that they are, because I think teams have seen what he's capable of doing, and the potential has been manifested or realized on the court. But, you know, that remains to be seen. I'm not convinced that he's going to drop off the face of the earth to the degree that he's going to be back in Boston, because nobody's going to match the qualifying offer or top the qualifying offer. But, you know, if that does happen, all the better for the Boston Celtics. I won't be mad to have Terry Rozier come back and score, you know, 9 or 10 points off the bench for the Celtics next season. That's just as to the on a discount bargain price. I'm just not convinced that's going to happen quite yet. Now, maybe, you know, come talk to me at the end of the season and he's still doing the same things and he's maybe even showing a little bit more frustration and he's still talking. talking the same type of talk that he's doing, but I'm not writing Terry Rozier off just yet, although I will admit that in the long debates that CLNS media hosts have had over the past several seasons about Marcus Smart versus Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart is proving himself to be the better player, the better equipped player, the more adaptable player, and the player that this team needs in the starting lineup. One of the things that I was an analogy that I had come up with, or one of those old phrases that people used to say is, you know, in the starting lineup that began the season, the Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, and who is Jaylen Brown. It's, you know, all guys that want to shoot, all guys that want their stats. There's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians. Not to be politically incorrect, I am part Native American myself. not in the Elizabeth Warren way. My family is from Peru, so if you look up the demographics of Peru, we're all natives down there. But, you know, too many Chiefs and not enough Indians, and I think Marcus Smart is the ultimate of those, you know, kind of Indians, the ultimate of those foot soldiers, the ultimate role player that is willing to sacrifice and, you know, do the small things for the team. And that's what they needed in the starting lineup. So, you know, when it comes to the Marcus Smart versus Terry Rozier debate, I will cede my point on that, and I'll keep repeating that so people don't think that, you know, as circumstances change, my opinion doesn't change. I'm not hard-headed. I'm not an ideologue when it comes to these things. When players prove themselves on the court, I will adjust, and I think Marcus Smart is the highlight of the season, especially putting him in the starting lineup with Marcus Morris. And Terry Rozier has been, unfortunately, one of the low lights, not adapting to his role as a bench player, which has been his role for most of his 4 years in Boston. So it was only last season due to injury that he got that role. Why he hasn't adapted, I don't know, but it is what it is. And we can only hope that the Boston Celtics continue their success, unlike tonight, as they lost, just to repeat the score for everybody that's listening. And I see the switchboard is lit up, so we'll be getting the calls in a minute. 113-104, the Pistons defeat the Celtics, ending their 8-game win streak. The Celtics fall to 18-11 on the season, 9-8 away. Anything else you'd like to throw out there, Mr. Chiquette, before we get to the Boston Barber and Tattoo Company call lines at 347-215-7771?
No, just another quick note that I made tonight, and it's again, Nick, forgive me, but this is I call it a deep bench note. I was a little surprised he didn't even get a look-see on Ojeleye tonight. He didn't get any time. I guess that's probably Robert Williams taking that time, but it would have been nice to see Semi out there just for a change of pace, specifically in the third when they were down 10. You know, that we got that little flurry at the end of the third with Smart making the back-to-back threes, but leading into that, when they were down, you know, 10, 12 in the third, I'm a big fan of, you know, changing the vibe. You know, if what you have on the court, if your five aren't vibing at that moment, if they're not in sync, if you're not seeing the ball rotation that you're looking for, the defensive prowess that you need at that time. And they were commenting on the broadcast about Stevens being frustrated specifically in the third when they choked away the quick little lead that they built at the beginning of the third. By the end of the third, they're down 10. So at that point, I don't know, 70 to me is kind of like another, I don't know, vibe changer. You know, he just kind of comes in, brings a different energy. I was just a little surprised I didn't see him out there, even if it was going to be unlimited minutes tonight.
He brings the energy, excuse me, he brings the energy and he brings the guns. And I don't mean, you know, the 12 gauges or the 45. He brings those big, swole, you know what I'm saying, muscles. He's like the Hulk. He deflates basketballs when he dribbles them. Maybe that's the problem. They were afraid that he might, you know, put holes in the court just by dribbling the basketball, because Semi Ojeleye is a monster. And when you look at those, I would imagine they're probably bigger than 24-inch pythons, as that one wrestler, was it Hulk Hogan, used to say, the 24-inch pythons, brother.
Yes.
when Semi Ojeleye gets out there, very intimidating. I can agree with you on that. Would be nice to, you know, have seen him out there, especially in a game where down the stretch, the Boston Celtics kind of got out physical a little bit. Andre Drummond, you know, just went beast mode out there, you know, grabbing offensive rebounds and getting putbacks. And as much as I like Daniel Tice is just kind of, you know, slight for a guy like Andre Drummond, who's, you know, a traditional center, a big guy. Robert Williams, the Time Lord, God bless him. We all love him. His game is fantastic, what he's already shown us. But, you know, with a guy like Andre Drummond, who knows how to position his body, who knows how to, you know, use those muscles, I just think that, you know, Robert Williams maybe wasn't the guy either with the game that Andre Drummond was having, although I love seeing him on the court anyway, so I'm not going to fault Brad Stevens for that, but I agree. Maybe a little bit of Semi Ojeleye when you're not getting anything from Gordon Hayward, when Marcus Morris isn't really doing all that much. Maybe a little bit of Semi Ojeleye would have been nice. Another defensive stopper and a guy that, you know, if nothing else, will intimidate you with his massive biceps and, you know, just savage play on the court. But that
Absolutely.
Said, I'm going to pay some bills with the Boston Barber Tattoo Company. Pre-recorded. Reed. Now, I know that Jimmy Toscano does not know that he's in a competition with me, Nick Sesento, for Best Boston Barber and Tattoo Company Reed, but I like to consider it a competition because it is basically the identical Reed that I did at the beginning of the show. Jimmy Toscano did a pre-recorded version, so we are going to listen to that right now, and then we are going to come right back to the Boston Barber and Tattoo Company toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. So with that, let's pay some bills.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, CLNS Media, Boston Celtics post-game show, recorded live after every single Boston Celtics game, whether it's home or away, with fantastic hosts like yours truly, Nick Sesento, and my co-host, Joe Chiquette, having a fantastic discussion despite the 113-104 eight-game winning streak snapping loss to the Detroit Pistons. And with that, we're going to bring in to the toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771, a longtime caller, dedicated listener, my man, West Coast Jerry. West Coast Jerry, what did you think about tonight's game? Any feedback on the conversation that Joe Chiquette and I have been having, or any unique, as you usually have, unique opinions or new takes, different takes that we haven't already covered? What was your feeling about tonight? Are you heartbroken about the 113-104 loss, or is it just, you know, just a bump in the road as the Boston Celtics continue to get themselves together for the home stretch and a potential championship run? What say you, West Coast Jerry?
Well, no, it's not at all concerned. Back in when I was a youngster in my early 20s, I was an aerial lineman, and we used to attach the cable TV lines on the telephone poles. And one of the old supervisors, he told me, some days you're going to have something called Murphy's Law. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And about the middle of the second quarter, I started getting that feeling in my gut. I'm like, you know, this is a Murphy's Law game. It's a back-to-back. You're in Detroit. This team lost 6 in a row. Celtics won 8 in a row. Guess what? Mathematic-wise, eventually both those streaks have to – they're going to snap. So it just kind of had that feeling to it. Hayward, 3 for 11 from field goals. Morris, 3 for 10. Rozier, 1 for 6.
Ugly.
Brown, 1 for 4. Brown, 144. So that's why you lost the game. Hayward played the second most minutes next to Kyrie, right? He's 3 for 11. And Morris, he's a starter. He's been a stud all the way, and he went 3 for 10. So let's say Hayward makes one more bucket. That means 4 for 11. Morris makes one more bucket. That means 4 for 10. Rozier makes one bucket. 2 for 6. Brown makes one bucket. He'd be 2 for 4. You win the game. That'd be eight. No, that would only be 8 points, actually. Well, you'd be in the mix. So what it is, guys, it's just the NBA.
Doing that mathematics on the fly.
Nobody's going to go undefeated. Nobody's going to go undefeated, guys. You guys are being real East Coast negative right now, and you guys trying to bury Rozier and Brown. I'm looking at the draft that Jaylen Brown got drafted in. Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, and after that, Bender, Dunn, Hill, who are these guys? The only guy in there – I don't want Ben Simmons, and I don't want Brandon Ingram. I want Jaylen Brown on the squad. He
right.
is the best player.
But right now,
he's
West Coast Jerry, I got a question for you.
Yeah?
Right now, and I get you. I know that draft. I know those players. I know that most of them are nowhere right now, and I know that Jaylen Brown's on this team. But the production is what we're looking at. So you can call me West Coast. You can call me East Coast negative. I'll call you West Coast dreaming. I go by what I see game in and game out, my man. And right now I see a guy who's not fitting into the role he's in. Now, granted, he's coming back from injury. I get that. Right. So he's going to be a little off, but I'm just not seeing consistency in his game. And I'm sure we will down the line. But what I'm analyzing is what I'm seeing in that game. And tonight, I didn't see much.
Well, nobody, like I said, it wasn't just him. It was a lot of guys that didn't produce tonight. And it was a 9-point
loss. Oh, I hammered them all.
Yeah, I get it. It was a 9-point loss. It was Murphy's Law. That's what I told you. You're not going to go undefeated in the NBA. Remember when the Miami Heat won like 28, 29 in a
row? Yeah.
It was guess what? That was their peak. After that, that was the zenith of that squad. They expended so much energy, so much just energy. And after that, the Miami Heat were on the decline. They won the championship that year, but they lost it, and then the team broke up. You're not going to go undefeated. The Patriots, guess what? They went undefeated, and guess what happened, right? So you're going to lose some games. Guys are going to miss some shots. The Celtics missed a lot of layups, and they just missed a lot of layups. It was weird. I was watching it. I just didn't understand.
Well, they were
that.
Tired.
Their shots.
Yeah,
they were.
I talked
were.
About
they
it earlier. I thought they had tired legs. Look at the number of front rim shots. And to your Gordon Hayward point, I can't agree with you more. I thought that early in the game, he was too strong in the paint, too strong on his mid-range, and too strong from behind the arc. Everything was back iron and out. So he was hard off the glass and out. He was too hard. But all the other guys, for the most part, I thought you saw a team with dead legs. And that's, you know, to be expected on the back half of a back-to-back. To your point, you're right. All streaks have to come to an end. And I don't think they should go undefeated by any stretch. And if you listen to any of the broadcasts I've done, whether it's with Nick, Taylor, Andrew, or even Matt, I'm probably the most hardest on the individual players, right? But I'm also a realist in that, you know, I get it. They shouldn't go undefeated, but they should beat the teams that they should beat. And when you start looking at it in that way, what makes a championship team to me, whether it's the Boston Celtics, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, or the Miami Heat, to me, what makes a championship team is a team that doesn't play consistently down to the level of their opponent, a team that maintains their strength throughout the season and maintains their identity. They don't play down. Well, what makes the Patriots great for the most part is that they typically don't play down to the scrubs of the league. They beat the ones they should beat, and they struggle on the teams that are playoff bound. I mean, you've seen that the last three seasons
listen,
in the NFL for
Joe,
the Patriots.
I hear you, Joe. Yeah. I don't think they played down to the level of a bad team. The Pistons had seven more assists tonight, and they had four more rebounds. So those things happen. The Celtics attempted 94 field goals, and the Pistons only attempted 80 field goals. They shot 14 more shots. That's effort. That's energy. Of course, the Pistons shot more free throws. I thought the referees were definitely. It seemed like they were betting on the under, and they were betting on the Pistons on the money line. I'm serious, dude. I kept watching these referees. I couldn't understand it.
No, I didn't mention it.
It's an NBA.
To your point, Jerry.
It was weird.
To your point, I didn't mention it. I didn't mention it in my analysis, but I'll mention it now. I had Tommy Heinsohn's voice in the back of my head screaming, "These guys are ridiculous." I mean, there were,
yeah,
him again, the great Heinsohn, there were ticky-tack fouls all over that court. And, you know, I hate using the refs as an excuse, so I try not to. But, yeah, I'm going to jump on your side on that one, dude. I thought they were tight. This game was called tight tonight on the green side, not so much on the home team side. But I get it.
It was. Now, let's remember this: the rest of the month, we're midway through the month of December, and the rest of the month is pretty jam-packed with a lot of the tougher teams are coming. They're going to play – I don't have the schedule in front of me. I'm not going to look it up. But they're going to play some tough teams coming up, and we're going to see what they're made of. Nick knows. I called him a couple of weeks ago. I go, watch when this schedule is going to shake out. We're going to see what this team is made of. Now, let's go back to Jaylen Brown. Let me finish and
okay.
I'm going to support Jaylen. All this stuff, his agent knows all the trade rumors, okay? All the agents, all the GMs, they know what's going on. So, yes, are they requesting him in trades? Is Danny putting him and Rozier out there in trades? Of course, there's no question. Until after the All-Star break or whenever the trade deadline finishes, after that, whether he gets traded or not, if he stays on the squad, you're going to see his psychology change, and it's going to be all the teams. Every team knows after the All-Star break, it's playoffs, then championship or bust. That's when you're going to see the focus and all the energy, the chemistry, whatever. It's going to be then championship or bust for the teams that are contenders. And for him as an individual, as a 21, 22-year-old, you know, with his own goals and individual aspirations, he wants to make generational money, life-changing money. He wants to get paid. He can get a $60 to $70-80 million contract at the end of next year. So understand that if we were in that position, you know, I'm a working man, you know, so if we were in that position, yes, our psychology would be definitely affected. Would we be able to tackle every day and give it our best and all these kind of things with those kind of things hanging in our minds for 18 months down the road? I don't know. And, you know, I'm 45 years old, so you have to understand that.
Ooh, a fellow Gen Xer. I love it.
Bro. West Coast Jerry is 45 years old, man. You sound young. I thought you were somewhere around like my age. 45 years old, man. Keep that youth.
Hey.
You sound like a youthful individual. Keep that youth. And I don't mean to jump into the conversation. I was about to take offense to the East Coast negative comment, Jerry, but then Joe Chiquette brought up the New England Patriots, and it made me think of that ridiculous what they call, I guess, the Boise State play that won them the game last Sunday. And now I am East Coast negative, so I can't take it personally anymore because that kind of just pissed me off and put me in a bad mood. But
nah,
please, proceed, West Coast passive-aggressive.
No. You know what? What it is you
what
know,
it is, Jerry, you got two nicknames tonight.
No. Just keep it West Coast Jerry and Mr. Timeless. Hey, guess what? I tweeted Dr. Bill Simmons and Bill Simmons, the podfather. He's like the biggest Boston fan ever. He's wrote books, he's on TV and all that. I tweeted him and told him, listen to the show. It's great. You know, it's a great show, guys. The Boston Celtics late night show, you know, post-game show. It's a great show. You guys are doing a great job. What I'm trying to tell you is I knew probably in the middle of the second quarter that we were going to lose the game. Kyrie played his balls off. Morris played hard. All the guys played hard. The shots didn't go in. The refs weren't giving us the whistle on those plays that should have been even 50-50. Guess what? We only shot 27% from three. You're not going to win like that. It's just not going to happen. Let me give you a quote from Mr. Greg Popovich. I mean, he knows NBA, right? He says, the beauty of basketball, he just said this like 2 days ago, the beauty of basketball is gone. Basically, the team that's going to win the game in the NBA is the team that shoots a higher percentage from three. Because there's a stat that they showed from 2013 to 2018, a corner three is equal to 1.2 points per attempt. And a layup right under the hoop is worth 1.2 plus, which means it could be between 1.5 to whatever. Basically 1.2. They're equal. A corner three and a layup right in the hoop are equal now. So guess what? Teams are just going to shoot that three. And we got outshot. Celtics only shot they shot a very low percentage, and the Pistons shot 48% from the field. And like I said, it was just Murphy's Law. You weren't going to win that game. The effort was there. The aggressiveness was there. Guess what? Everything was there. They only got out-rebounded by four. The Pistons had seven more assists. I just think it was just one of those nights, man. And I want to roll with this squad all the way through. I really do. And I think you're going to see by the end of December that this team is really going to rise up, and people in the media and us that watch and follow the Celtics, we're going to say, wow, this team is a real contender for that Larry O'Brien trophy. And one more thing, Mr. Kyrie Irving, by the All-Star break, will establish himself as an MVP legitimate candidate. Because to win the MVP, I'm watching the man play, man, and the man is scary. You don't want to go up.
I'm not mad at it.
Mean, he's little. Steph won two MVPs. Their game is very, very, very similar. They get injured. They get nicked up. They're thin guys. They're smaller guys, but they're pure. Their handle, their vision, their drive to the hoop, their left and right hand, the floaters, the mid range. I mean, they got it all. Spectacular skill wise. Spectacular. So if the record is there, because to win MVP, your team has to have a great record, and you have to put up really awesome stats. One thing I would say, though, if I was Brad Stevens, I would never play Kyrie more than about 34 minutes a game. I just think it's just not worth it. You got great backups. You got great backups. Guess what? I would have liked to see Wanamaker in there tonight. Like you guys said, Rozier was struggling. Let's roll Wanamaker in there and see what he can do. Let's see if his shot's falling. He's hungry. Ogile, you know, instead of Brown, because they kind of can play that wing. So yeah, I would have liked to see that. But he's got to keep these guys fed. He's got to keep Rozier fed, because these guys need their money, man. Rozier needs his money. Brown is going to need his money. And they're basically the two trade chips that keep getting mentioned every time. So that psychology is there. But other than that, man, who are we playing next? Let me ask you guys that. Who's the next team that the Celtics play?
Oh, the Suns. I'm glad that you brought it up.
Wednesday the 19th versus the Suns, and your hosts will be Andrew Rubino and Colin Letty. Thanks for bringing that up, Ooh. West Coast Jerry, because next show, the Suns. I know the Suns aren't, you know, the most exciting of teams, but you will have exciting post-game hosts afterwards. Andrew Rubino done a fantastic job as Beto Manning has been in Spain. So Andrew Rubino and Taylor McCloud have kind of filled in as the Syracuse boys, the Syracuse crew, helping to keep the show running and organized and scheduled. So you'll have Andrew Rubino and Colin Letty as your hosts Wednesday the 19th after the Suns game. Jerry, the clock is running out on us. Anything you'd like to close out your comments with? We appreciate your call as always. Any final thoughts before Mr. Chiquette and I give our own final thoughts to end the show?
That's right, guys. Joe, it's nice to be on the show with you. Nick, I love the beats, bro. That first beat that you put on, it just reminds me of that old school East Coast Wu-Tang. I know I'm a West Coast guy, but for me, hip-hop wise and beats wise and everything wise, man, I got a lot of love and respect for the East Coast. And I am a Celtics fan, but I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. It's just kind of strange how I just gravitated to Gangstar. You know, that's Boston, right? Guru and all that.
Yeah.
So I love the show, fellas. Hopefully, this show can just get more hyped up because it's the only show around that's national, worldwide. You know, I'm sure if you live in Boston, you know, they got their little post-game show that you can listen to. But this is a worldwide show, so much love, much respect to all the Celtics supporters worldwide, and I enjoy the show, man, no matter who the hosts are. But Nick, you're my boy. Shout out to Isaiah from Jersey. I love him when he calls in. I like listening to his take.
We
Joe,
love Isaiah.
Joe, much respect. I know you know, when you critique, it's not criticism. I get it. It's critique. When you critique the guys, you know, you're doing it because, you know, you want to see us win. And I get that, man. And go see.
Always from a place of love, West Coast. Thanks, my man.
That's right, buddy.
Jerry, we always appreciate the call. Thank you once again for your dedication to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. We can be a little bit East Coast negative tonight after a loss because we don't celebrate losses in Boston. But that's all right. We don't take it personal. It's just the way that we are sometimes. You know, we got a little bit of an edge to us. We can't always be as laid-back, fun in the sun like you West Coast guys are out there in California. But, you know, it's okay. We'll take the negativity tonight because we know in the long run the Boston Celtics are contenders and will continue their – probably have another 8-game winning streak somewhere, you know, hidden away somewhere in this season. So not too much negativity. And, of course, if you want to get the show hype, just do as Joe Chiquette did and mention the Time Lord early in the show, and you'll get a whole lot of excitement from the host. So, Mr. Chiquette, like I said, the time is running out on us in this show. Any final thoughts on the game tonight, the Celtics in general, life in general, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, throw it out there so we can get to bed. Although it is Saturday night, I'll probably find something to get into after the show is over. So, you know, let's get the final thoughts.
So final thoughts, quick first shout out to Bobby Manning coming back from Spain. Nice to have him back, U.S. side. Number two, West Coast Jerry, thank you for the call in. I can speak for Nick on this. We always appreciate when people are listening and engaging with us as hosts. It makes the show more enjoyable for us doing it, and it makes it more interesting for the people that are listening. Nick, great first show with you. Really enjoyed having the back and forth, listening to your takes and you giving me the opportunity to give mine out there. Tonight's game, I'm chalking it up to back half of a back-to-back on tired legs. I don't think it's indicative of a path that they're going down. I think it's more the speed bump in the road rather than the crater. So I'll be looking forward to them having a couple of days off, come home for some home cooking, take care of business with Phoenix and try to get back onto something. I know I'm going to pay attention to the December 25th broadcast post game after the Philly game on Christmas night, because I know my man Nick's got the show solo. So I'll be listening to that. And if you all get an opportunity, I'll hype myself real quick. Sunday night, the 23rd, after the Charlotte game, you can hear me on the radio breaking it down left and right. Nick, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Likewise, Joe. It's fantastic. I like I said, when I first heard you co-hosting the show, I said, this guy is good. And then when I had the opportunity, I filled in for Taylor a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I'll switch out for you on the next game that you're doing. It happened to be the this game tonight, the 15th, when I took a look at the schedule and I saw Joe Chiquette on the schedule, I said, nah, I said, I'm going to keep that one because I want to get a chance to co-host with one of the best, especially a Gen Xer who has the broad perspective, who's been around. And I remember the lean years as well. I'm not just a, you know, one of the kids that has that remembers the 2008 Celtics and the championship team and, you know, only remembers, you know, kind of, there were some bumps in the road in between then as well. There were some lean years after Paul and Kevin Garnett were traded. That first round loss to the Knicks was kind of rough. I was living in South America at the time, and I remember watching that game. It was actually playing in a bus station in Peru, of all places. And again, I watched it and I said, I think that series was lost in, I think, five games. I'm not sure exactly how many, but it was a very very competitive series, and I think that was game five, and the Celtics went down by double digits, and I remember thinking, you know, I got to get on. I was like, shit, I got to get on a bus, but I'm probably not missing much because, you know, I'll drown my sorrows in the liquor that I snuck in my backpack. But, you know, we've experienced the lean years, but fantastic show as always, Joe, and it was fantastic working with you. Just like to remind everybody else that, it, once again, the next show will be Wednesday the 19th after the Suns game. Your host will be Andrew Rubino and Colin Letty. And as always, we would like to thank Boston Barber and Tattoo Company for sponsoring this show. They are the heartbeat of the North End of Boston. They cut Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines' hair. Go check them out, located at 113 Salem Street. Get your hair did, and if you need some ink, because ink is the manly thing to do, I have tons of ink myself. If I still lived in the Boston area, I would hit up Boston Barber and Tattoo for some ink. I'm down here in sunny Florida, so we're not all that negative. We still have some sunshine down here. It was in the 70s today, so, I mean, can't be that mad, you know what I mean? But make sure to check out Boston Barber and Tattoo. We'd like to thank our sponsors, and make sure to check out the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show after every single Boston Celtics game. And with that, I am your host, Nick Sesento, shouting out my man, Joe Chiquette, my co-host for the night. Y'all have a good evening. It's still early on the East Coast. It's still earlier on the West Coast Jerry. So make sure you find something to do on this Saturday evening. Y'all take it easy. Up, and you know what I'm saying, and support the Joe Chiquette show.
Well, thanks, man. I'm also doing a 5 to 7 minute demo. It's a long shot, and when I say long shot, I'm talking like literally. I'm trying to think of who can throw the longest ball in the NFL, but say it's, you know, I don't know. Let's say it's Lamar Jackson. I am throwing one.
Well, unless you're Tannehill throwing that hook and ladder.
I don't even want to talk about that right now. I'm still not okay with it.
Painful. Right.
But I'm throwing a deep Hail Mary to try to land the Red Sox beat. Demo and send it in and see what happens.
I wish you the best. That would be fantastic. I'd love to hear more from Joe Chiquette because, you know, there's a lot of talented people at CLNS, and I consider you one of those,
sure,
you know, on the top tier. So definitely you have my full support on that. I wish I had, you know, more influence over anything. I'm just one of the hosts. I've just been around for, you know, the longest time,
oh,
kind
no
of
worries.
Grandfathered in. But
If you have any experience or expertise in using Audacity to edit, then I might text
yes.
you. Because I don't
yes.
know
oh, yeah.
how to
no,
do that.
No, I used to be a nightclub DJ, and I have Audacity. Like, all the beats that Jerry was talking about, I just use the free version of Audacity to edit them out so that they self-fade, so I don't have to fade them out myself. And it's kind of just like a brainless. I just upload them, play them, and then as they fade out, just jump back in. So, I know how to use a lot of those programs. So if you need any help with that, you just give me a holler. It's a free service from me to you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Hey, man, have a good evening or a good night. I know it's only 11 o'clock, so there's still plenty of time left on this Saturday evening, even for the you 45-year-old Gen Xers.
Plenty of trouble to still get in, my man. Have a great night.
For sure. You too. It's a pleasure working with you.
You too. See you soon. Bye.
All right. Take care.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.